Good morning, Toronto. Paul Andrigo here, Toronto Real Estate Unfiltered, Toronto Real Estate Podcast on Instagram. So, first thing I hear today in the news, and I've seen it posted in a few places, is that the government is talking about banning the practice of bully offers. So, where do I begin? A few years ago, I had the situation come up where I was in the process of selling a property. And what I did in my listing, which I believe was revolutionary at the time, was I added three words. Four words. Preemptive offers welcome. So that meant bully offers were welcome before the bidding date. This is something I had discussed with my sellers, and they agreed to. So we put that in the listing. Let's just say that I had a few people, some that were, you know, brave enough to discuss it with me, you know, directly to my face, and some cowards who decided to blog about it, and they knew who they are. I still have not faced me personally, and that's fine. That kind of just lets me know, you know, who I want to deal with in the future and not. But back to this point. The statement is that bully offers are somehow unfair to sellers. So let's break this down. So sellers have the opportunity, when they're selling their property, they have the opportunity to put an offer date. That's something that's been from the beginning of time, even though it wasn't something that was always done. The seller calls the shots. They could decide, you could send, let's say the property is $1 million. You could send someone an offer for, you know, $3 million, and the seller can decide not to take the offer. They could decide to take a $800,000 offer when given the choice. They can make any choice they want when you're selling your property. I believe that's fair. I believe that the seller should have the choice. When you own your property as a homeowner, you should be able to decide how the property sold. And if the buyers agree, then of course they will bid. But if they don't agree, then again, no one shows up. Whenever, and behind the scenes of how it works in real estate, is not every property that has an offer date gets offers on that date. That's just not how it works. It's just one of many. And I call it the one of the 26 plans that we have in real estate. Obviously, for every alphabet letter, so plan A, plan B, plan C, there's always some, you know, there's always other plans, and there's some properties that started doing offer dates that I've seen as long as 2 years ago that are still not sold because they just didn't get the number right. So it's a marketing effort. There's lots of them. So my point is, if the sellers can do what they
If the sellers can do what they need to do and want to do, and if they're able to do a bidding war, an auction style setup, I believe the buyers should have the equal opportunity, because when a listing is put up, again, behind the scenes stuff, when a listing is put up, the seller has the right to say yes or no to preemptive offers, and they can choose to review them at their own will, just like they can choose to review any price range or any price offer that they get. So for me, it's only fair that if bidding wars are still allowed, then bully offers should also be allowed. That is, in some cases, the only advantage some buyers might have. Now, bully offers doesn't just mean sending in any offer early. That's the other misconception. If you're going to put a bully offer in, I'm not gonna ever tell my buyers that, you know, you're not going to come in at asking or 5% below asking and get a place that's asking for bully offers. You have to sort of, like any eBay auction, you've got to predict, well, they put the starting price of $1, but they want $1.50. So that part involves a little bit of educated guessing, and I'm pretty good at getting you that number, saying I'm pretty sure this is what they want, knowing that properties in their area have sold for 20% over asking. they're probably looking for something like X price. So if you're going with a bully offer, then a preemptive offer, whatever you want to call it, you know, you will be going in pretty strong. You will be getting your, in my case, when you're buying with me, I would ask you to get your financing, your inspection, anything, any conditions that you would normally put on the offer, you would have them covered and handled before the offer gets put in. And that's it. Like, you should have, as a buyer, that opportunity to play on a level surface. And I find it almost insulting, for that matter, for anyone, whether it's the government or anybody else, to say that it's an unfair advantage to the sellers. Because, again, whether you're, and this is another part of me, the one thing that I don't do is I don't work on the buying and selling side of any of my properties. It's just something that, I've never been comfortable with, even when it was allowed, and it still is in Ontario allowed. It's not allowed in BC, but you'll still see it happening in Ontario quite often, especially with the big teams. So I'm not a big fan of that. When I was on the rugby field, I spent a good decade of my life on the rugby field, learning all the important life lessons. And one thing I can tell you that I learned on that field is that you could never play on both sides of the team at the same time. Not in any sport, hockey, football, you name it, rugby. So for me, I am 110 and 1,000, whatever percent you want to use, exaggerated number, is fine, because that's the way it is for me. When I'm on one side of the equation, I'm all in on making sure that I'm representing my clients properly and above and beyond average, and treating whoever's on the other side with fairness and equity as well. So, and that sometimes just means being direct to both sides. For me, it's always been that way, and I always want to end off any negotiation with, of course, a good feeling that, you know, the buyers, you know, the sellers got what they wanted, the buyers got what they wanted, and everybody's, you know, happy with the final outcome. Because again, when you're at that level of negotiating, that six and seven figure level, there's no room for regret. So you want both sides to be fully aware of what's going on and fully able to, you know, understand the consequences of each situation. I also add to the equation is that you need to understand, as a selling agent, when I am one, which is quite often, I also need to know as much as I can about the buyer's financial situation. The end bids, for example, let's say someone decides to bid $100,000 or $200,000 over asking. That's a nice number on paper, but that still is only on paper. So I don't know if the property is going to, the appraisal of the property is going to match the buyer's financing. So I ask my sellers normally to get their own independent appraisal. This is one of the many things that I do behind the scenes, along with getting an inspection done by a professional inspector, and having a look up and down the house, basically preparing for every scenario that is going to come up, and then dealing with it on a marketing level, meaning that before we're selling it, everything is a marketing effort. After it's sold, it becomes a lot more complicated if it's the buyer telling you that there's some issue with the property. It becomes, I believe that as a seller, you're at a disadvantage. So, the cost, and I think over the years I could say that the cost of getting the inspection done, which ranges about $500, easily it's worth that. But in a lot of cases, it's worth 10 times that much, because finding out after the fact, and let's say you get an offer in, it's been 2 weeks on the market, someone comes in, they find $5,000 worth of issues on their home inspection, you're in no position at that time, in some cases, to negotiate. So you have to work with them. It's far better that you know, again, everything about your property, and that's my job, is to tell you, here's what we need to do to find out everything about the property. So when you're dealing with offers and bully offers, preemptive, whatever you want to call it, I'm just of the opinion that a buyer should have the opportunity, again, even if it's, and I've seen this in some realtor groups mention that, even if it says no preemptive offers, there are some people that decide to send it anyways. I think that's part of a free market society. That's what, you're supposed to be allowed to send in a bully offer, and it doesn't have to be reviewed, and it doesn't have to be considered. But it's up to the buyer to do that, and it's on my side as the selling agent, of course, whether or not my seller is going to allow that. So I will not, proceed on any bully offers if they say specifically to me in writing they do not want a review. But some of them have over the years say, yes, I'll consider something before the offer date. And in that case, I'll make sure that it's written in. And then it's explained fairly to everybody that, you know, the right offer is going to, you know, possibly sell the property. So again, if bully offers are unfair, then bidding wars are also unfair. So I think that if one goes, they both have to go. And literally then I believe they'll see that there's no advantage to doing that. So if you're going to make some changes, in my opinion, to the system, I believe that the right way to go is to, again, let buyers have the advantages that they have, leave those in place. The sellers are allowed to, again, propose their listing, propose their marketing the way they see fit, that will best benefit them. The buyers have their choices that they can use, again, in a free open market. This is not where, you know, you want to have, you know, people who are completely, you know, outside of the negotiation deciding how you need to bid, what's the right way to do. I believe this is something that buyers should have the option to do or not, and sellers should have the option to accept or not, because that's what real estate is. And yes, in some areas it's extremely competitive. Yeah, I get it. It's part of how real estate works for the most part. But at the end of the day, no one's making any buyer, you know, jump to the table to bid. There's no forced anything. Whether it's renting, if that's the choice, then no one's forcing anyone to rent a certain property. It's really, in a position where, again, we have all the options that we do. I do believe that buyers should have the option to, again, proceed on a bully offer if they wish, and not have that option removed from the table. Because again, I believe it'll be an unfair advantage to sellers. And I want sellers that I work with to, again, have every advantage. I want the buyers, not my clients. These are other people working, you know, with other agents when it's my listing. I want them to have the, again, whatever it is that they need, to be able to proceed in a safe manner and basically secure the property. And I'm talking about, again, and I tell people this all the time, like even when you look at a list price, for the most part, in most neighborhoods, it might be valid, but in a lot of cases, what the list price is, basically, it's sort of irrelevant to what the value of the property is, which is why I tell everybody I'm working with, regardless of, again, whether if I'm your buying agent and your selling agent, I'm not going to be the same person on the same property ever. So I do this very often. I'll sell a person's home, and the day later, do that over-the-top move where you spin the hat around and I become the buyer agent. And again, I am, you know, driven on that. And I'll make sure that everything's done right there once the other thing is done. And make sure that, again, that my buyers understand that, you know, you need to look at, you know, not just, you know, what the asking price is, but what things are actually selling for. So ordering a copy of mysoldreport.com, which is part of anybody who works with me, you get this, you know, very thorough breakdown of what happens behind the scenes. In some neighborhoods that I'm very active in, I also know a lot of the details. Meaning, you know, the type of offers that are coming in, the type of deposits being dealt with, if any agents who have been putting offers in have removed those offers. There's a lot of things. I keep a lot of notes on this. And I do this because, again, I like to make sure that anybody who hires me is getting way more value than the cost of hiring me. And as a buyer, you might know this already, as a buyer, you're not specifically paying me. My fees come from the listing side. When I'm selling, of course, the seller's the one paying my fees. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of details within that that you should know as well, especially for those of you moving out of the city or moving into Toronto from places outside for work. There's a lot of advantages that you need to understand. And in some cases, it even includes the opportunity to make my fees completely tax deductible. So you need to understand, if you're moving to Toronto 40 kilometers or more within Ontario, you're moving for work, there are actually specific advantages that, again, none of this stuff is ever talked about. It's just the little details, sometimes the ones that, you know, the details that matter less, I believe. There's a lot bigger things that, again, I hope when we're together at the coffee shop, at your house, looking at properties, which I'm on my way to do right now. When we're talking about this stuff one-on-one, there's so many things, and I can't even possibly, and I won't, get into them here simply because I just don't think the audience, will, you know, we won't be able to connect on things. And as Frank Zappa said, when it comes to communicating, I mean, it really, what's missing in whether it's recorded or typed information, the eyebrows, emotion, expressions, things like that. Without those, I can't actually do all the things I want to do. I can do some of them, but, and this is why this podcast is great, because I can do a lot of explaining. That communication, we're opening up a dialogue right now. Right now it's a monologue, but it opens up some conversations. But as far as in you know, being together, sitting across from each other, you know, just being in the same room, discussing all the details, that's the only time. And that's why this will never be an automated or a robotic experience. And you know, you're never gonna be able to do this off a screen 100%. There are so many intricate details. There's a list of about 100+ things that can go wrong in a transaction that, again, a lot of people aren't ever told about. They're not fully versed on. And these are the kind of things that I do in my buyer and seller boot camp programs. It's something that I'm very adamant about. I want you guys to know, I've been doing this now 19 years. I want you to know everything, good, bad, ugly, and then you decide. And this is how, you know, for a lot of us that, you know, that have been involved in real estate, I've purchased and sold a few homes over the years myself. Sometimes you hear the good, you hear the bad, and you do it anyways. So you decide on what level of risk that you're comfortable with in life. And then you decide, okay, you know what, I'm going to go for this. I think it's going to work out for me. And you just know inside, as you get older especially, I can tell you right now, from my 20s to my 40s, bought my first house in my early 20s, continued to, you know, buy a few more houses right into my 30s, and have been at the house that we own now, for, you know, over the last 07 we bought it, so over 12 years now. So very comfortable with the risks that I've taken, because the rewards have been quite good. And I want that for you guys too. And I always say that anything that happens with me, any sale that I'm part of, which I'm very grateful for, I'm always hoping to pay it forward twice, not once, but twice. And in the case of right now with my 100 Souls campaign that I'm on, is my goal is to help 5 to 10 people a month make a move. I'm hoping in some way, buying, selling, and even renting is fine, but to help 5 or 10 people a month make a move. And if I can, I can then provide up to 25 to 50 meals for the homeless in those communities, which for me is absolutely the best end result. Last year during the holidays, during Christmas, I was able to provide dinner for 21 people at the Scott Mission. And that was something I set as sort of a goal for myself, as I helped 21 people last year. So I've increased my goals. I want to be able to provide 25 at least meals per month, every month, if I can. And again, I can't do that without the support of, you know, the amazing people here, the almost 11,000 of you that are listening around the world, many of which are clients now, and I'm hoping many of which will be clients soon. But again, for me, this is all the stuff I'm talking about, this is all part of the process of, again, choosing the right realtor. If you're going to be in an active market like this, I mean, you know, whether it's Toronto, whether it's New York, whether it's Los Angeles, whatever the market market is. I've got amazing people in all of those places that I, you know, work with regularly. I've actually sold. I've worked with a one-on-one with an agent in New York State recently to secure land for an incredible client of mine here. It's really important that you guys understand that this collaboration, this teamwork with us, even between you, me, and again, just, you know, when I'm buying or selling your properties, I don't care if it's your first condo or if it's your first mansion, and hopefully I can help you from one right to the next one. And I've done that actually over the years. I've helped people go from first condo to, again, what I would call first mansions, and move on from there. And I want to do that for everybody listening. So bottom line, let me help you, let me guide you through the process, and I promise you, every time I do, it will be rewarding, and again, you'll come out a lot stronger through the process, and you know, you'll know a lot more than the average bear does, and again, it'll be a good thing for you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.